It's Candy O 742. Stand by, Mariah Carey next.
I would rather be in the field of animation. You know, feel like I could be myself, yet someone different at the same time.
Bringing a world perspective to today's news.
Why voiceover? It's powerful, it's creative, it's cool.
Oh yes, voiceover is cool, but it's not as cool as talking shop with Dan Lothian and Law Lapidus.
What's that? It should be Law Lapidus first, then Dan Lothian?
Eh, they'll fix it in post. This is Mike, Camera, Action.
Hey, welcome. Good morning. I'm here with Dan.
Hello.
The man, and I'm here with Brendan. Yay.
Yay.
Hi. Today we're going to talk about a very interesting and forgotten concept in our industry, and that is thinking about what makes you, Dan,
yes,
artful and unique.
Unique. What makes me unique? I wear glasses. I have a good tan. You will, most likely will always see me with a baseball hat. I like to wear so that there's a uniqueness about that. I'm pretty predictable, so I think I stand out a little bit. I'm unique. But we're not talking about that, right?
Well, you know, it is important to think about, and that's
right.
Something that is actually not very common to think about in our industry is what makes you you. What is your brand? What makes you authentically, intrinsically interesting and unique that separates you from your competition? That's something
that's
we have to
key.
Think about. In fact, I think we have to talk about it today.
Oh, well, that's a good thing we have microphones and a mixer and a recorder to put it all down.
Yeah, that works out.
I know. Man, we ended up in a studio just when we wanted to address this issue.
Voila, here we go.
But it is, look, I think that this is probably one of the most important issues because there are, what is it? Is it 50 billion people who want to do this business?
That's actually more than the human race,
right,
Dan.
Yeah.
But it could be close to accurate.
Well, I think it is more than human because I think everyone on Mars, if there are people on Mars and Jupiter, wherever you are in this universe, you want to be in the media industry. Mm-hmm. All those people are lining up. They all want to do it. If you don't want to do it or if you can't do it, they'll do it. So the competition is intense.
Fierce.
You and Martians and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's intense. So the issue is, what makes you unique? You know, when they see a clip reel of you or when you stand in front of someone, are you just another vanilla?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you sparkle with lots of color and pizzazz and something that they'll say, that's who we want?
I love that. And you know what? Let me be clear. This is not about articulating everything that you're about and everything that you are. We just did a program talking about time. We only have very small increments of time that we're working with. So when your casting director or your producer or your agent says, well, what makes you different than the other 50 women that are sitting out in the waiting room right now? You should have a really good response for that.
Right.
You should have a great one-liner that helps him or her understand the kind of work that you do. I'll share one of mine, because I have many of them, actually.
Oh,
you shouldn't have just one. You should have a whole plethora of uniqueness.
There's some real talent sitting across the table from me. Yeah, she travels around with a suitcase full of uniqueness.
Yes. Do not question my reservoir. It is deep.
No wonder she always carries that suitcase. It's like, what's in there? It's my unique collection.
This would be mine as an actor, as a professional actor. This would be one I would actually articulate and say, based on one of my great teachers and mentors, Robert Cohen from UC Irvine. When I was in graduate school, one of the things he said to me, which I, of course, wrote down so I would never forget it.
Very good.
But it resonated with me.
Then you lost the list.
I lost the list, but I had already memorized it, luckily.
Very good.
It resonated with me as a truth, as at least one truth, according to him. And that was, he said to me, as an actor, remember, keep this in context. As an actor, he said, you're very threatening.
Ooh.
You're very dangerous and threatening. And I thought about that and I said, wow, that is part of charisma, part of magnetism, part of the thing that makes people watch you or be interested in you or even be a little bit afraid of you. Is that something I might say to my kids? Probably not, though they already know it. But in that context of playing roles and many roles that have to encompass a slightly dangerous or unpredictable element, that is an asset. And that is what makes me artful and unique. As an example, what about you, Dan? What's one industry artful unique thing about you?
Right. So and we may have discussed this on another podcast as part of an element of some other discussion, but I always, I wanted to stand out in the stand-ups in my pieces. As you folks know, I've been a reporter for many, many years, and reporters all go out, they cover the same story, and they come back, and news directors typically will watch all three stories play out on the various monitors that they have. So they'll see your story. If it's the lead story, they'll see, oh, what did station X do and what did station Y do? And then they'll come back to you and say, hey, yours was better than everybody else's. So how do I stand out? What makes mine unique? Two things. First of all, when I was out covering a story, while everybody was focused on the person at the microphone, I wanted to develop a reputation of looking around to see who was watching or what else was going on away from where everyone else was focused. And so, and that ended up leading me to find other elements that people typically did not have in their pieces. And that, after a while, I developed a reputation for being, you know, if we covered this, you know, you knew that everybody would have the who, what, when, where, why, that stuff. But there was always going to be this other surprising little element in Dan Lothian's pieces because he was looking away from where everybody else was. That's the first thing. The second thing, which is more obvious, is that I would, you know, stand-ups, people sometimes, you know, you the reason you use a stand-up is to bridge from one thing to the next, or because you just don't have pictures to cover it, and so you're just going to do a stand-up. Some people don't think of it as a way to really shine. It's just a way to get your face on camera and say something. Mm-hmm. What I would do is find unique ways to do stand-ups. Whether it's if everybody's standing on the shore of a lake, I'm going to get in the water. If everyone's talking about how deep the snow is, I'm going to measure the snow for you.
Wow.
The one that stands out that people have talked about for a while is we were doing something on violent video games. And as opposed to just showing clips, we recreated a scene from a video essentially and put me in a video game. So
Who are you?
So I was just a guy on a corner that was being shot at, and we put me in the game. And what we did was we just found a place in the game where there was a sidewalk in a corner, and then looked out our office window and found that there was an area where that looked kind of close enough to that. And then we shot through the window down on the ground, so I looked very small. And then we superimposed that in the game. And then I was kind of dodging like this. You know,
Were you the guy running over mountains and and going under fences things like that?
Well,
that's parkour, actually. You were doing parkour. You were jumping from building to building.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it was, I don't even remember the name of the game. But
oh,
I wasn't.
That's awesome.
What I did was we noticed where, when we watched that clip of the game, there was an area where, you know, bullets were coming from what direction, people were coming. So we captured a portion that we could kind of figure out what the movement should be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made the movements as if I was avoiding it. And
that's awesome.
And then we superimposed that. We put me in the game. It took forever to figure out how to do that. But it was pretty cool. Like, people remembered that.
That is cool.
Right? And so I tried not to make it sort of gratuitous entertainment kind of thing, but something that people would remember, think about the story, and then say, oh, wow, that was cool. That was a story about video games, violent video games, right? So if it helps to reinforce what the story is about. Anyway, this was a long way of me telling you that what I try to do is to have unique stand-ups and be known as the guy that has that element.
So if you were just a random person walking the street, you would see you would have just seen a random guy just starting to randomly dance around.
I'm sure. Yeah, I guess I could have gotten arrested. Like
you're
this
the animated parkour guy running from the bullets through all sorts of terrains.
It's that, or the guy who was sniffing something
that.
And then was out of control on the sidewalk.
Dan, we can't beat that. There's no way we can beat that. Bren, what's your artful, unique thing?
Yeah, what makes you unique?
Oh, that's a good one.
It's your thing. Do what you got to do with it. What is it?
I have an extreme vast knowledge of things no one else does.
Oh, really? Wow.
Whoa.
What's the most obscure
that's
thing?
That's intriguing.
What is it?
Like baseball.
Oh, baseball.
Oh, wow.
Can you throw out one quickie?
Ooh, listen, can you throw out one?
Get it?
Very
get it?
Good.
Ba-dum-bum. Wow. Throw out one quickie. See if we can catch it.
Do you know who leads Major League Baseball in wins above replacement?
Well, I wouldn't know.
First of all,
I don't even know what that means.
Above a replacement? What does that mean?
We need to translate that.
Well, yeah, speak English. What does that mean?
Already you're wowing us.
Yeah, I get to break down wins above replacement.
I do have. You know what? If you can phone a friend, I have someone who can answer that. I know my friend Mark out in Texas knows every single thing about baseball. So
he would probably know.
Yeah.
Basically, how do I explain this quickly? basically, a player can cost a single player can cost their team wins, or mm-hmm. they can give them wins.
Oh, okay.
Just based upon the way they play offense, the way they play defense, it's not as simple as just striking out costs a win, or fielding a ball gives you two or three runs. Mm. Everything combined allows you to basically judge a player based on one number.
Okay.
It's not perfect, but it's where they were trying to go like 5, 6, 7 years ago. But Mike Trout is leading the league in wins above replacement.
Well, we would not have had the answer because we didn't even know what the question was.
Right.
Wow.
So we were lacking then. So that makes you unique.
Say a baseball player's name.
That's the problem. I wouldn't know. Big
I'm
Poppy.
I'm impressed.
Well, Poppy is probably up there.
He's up there. Yeah.
Up there.
Wow. Good stuff.
See how you work with people and you just don't know. You don't know the wisdom.
Mr. Baseball trivia. That makes you unique. Well, look, it's important. You have to figure something out in order to stand out. And whether it's for voiceover, you have that unique kind of voice, mm-hmm. or, it's the accent. Maybe you can do an accent really well. Mm-hmm. One thing I found, I was talking to someone about when I expressed my interest in doing voiceover work, they said, well, a lot of people have the British voice. That apparently is really popular now. So you can, that denotes some kind of real trustworthy or whatever mm-hmm. it might be. Or people have the voice of God. There are a lot of people out there who try to be the voice of God. Or there's this sort of, a soap commercial kind of voice of a female, Find a voice that really is odd out there. So whether it's from an African accent or whatever it might be, find something that is not as common because that's where you can really pitch yourself as being unique. Now, I got to find that voice, then I have to figure out how to do that voice. So that's really hard. But it does give you an advantage because as we started out this program talking mm-hmm. about the fact that it is so competitive that anything that you can do to give you a leg up on the competition, I think, is a benefit.
And you know what you need to do as well is sit down with, 10 or 20 of your inner circle and say, I need you to tell me what you find interesting about me. And be ready for their truth. Right. Sometimes you'll like what you hear and sometimes you won't like what you hear. But the point is, it's all about perception and how they're perceiving you and your performance. And write it down and keep it and say, wow, this is how this person is seeing me. This is how this person is hearing me. This is how this person would view me in a job or in a role.
Right.
And I have to pay attention to that because our self-perception can be very biased, can be very shaded with a lot of insecurities that really don't mean very much at the end of the day. You have to go outside, go external, and ask people that you know and you trust, people who are working in the industry today, and say, how do you see me? Is there anything that jumps out at you about my personality, about my look, about the kind of work that I do? Tell me so that I can write it down and pay attention to it, and then brand myself and sell that.
This is real world stuff. I remember when I first went to NBC, there was a manager there who was talking about different correspondents, and he pointed out, oh, this person is the go-to fireman. You know, whatever, if there's a last minute story, that's who we're going to get. They know how to put that thing together, slap it together, get it on the air. If we're doing the more emotional kind of story where you want a profile kind of thing, we always give it to this person because they have a way of writing the piece that just will make you feel that family. Everybody was at the top of their game or they wouldn't be working there. But clearly the manager saw people who could deliver. Their uniqueness would allow them to deliver a different kind of story. And so given what the stories were for that week or for that day, you knew that if someone had a unique element to them, they were going to get on the air. And so quickly I started looking around, okay, what is it? You can't make things up, and certainly, you know, maybe you have to sometimes, but you look at what is that strength that you have, and then you develop it. Right. So you work with something that you have and then you develop it into a real uniqueness that will allow your managers or the people who are sitting there looking to hire someone the opportunity to say, ah, yeah, I like that. That's what makes Dan a little different than Joe. When, you know, on paper, they all, you know, we have the same height, same this, same that. Except in this area, Dan wins.
That's great. And we've been mostly speaking about, you know, what makes you internally unique because we are, again, deep. With a reservoir
deep,
that
deep.
Is endless and infinite.
Fathoms.
But let's go simple now. Let's talk about external things. What are some really simple things that we can do to strategize an external approach that makes us a little different? I'll throw one out there for you. For actors, for actresses going in for your audition, wear an article of clothing or a small piece that catches the eye. For instance,
I was going to say that. You
right?
took that from me. You stole that.
Oh, I stole it. Great minds think alike.
But I have a part of that that I'll still add.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It could be something really as simple. I'm talking simple. I'm talking about like a red scarf. I'm talking about an interesting shoe. I'm talking about a pen that you take out in your scene because you're a lawyer and you're writing a contract that's very interesting. Something that can capture attention and have those casting people saying at the end of the day, you know, we saw 50 or 60 people for that role. But remember the guy with the red scarf? Yeah, it was interesting how he took out that pen. I really like the essence of what he was doing there.
Mm-hmm.
And people do really talk that way.
They
think that way. If they don't know you at all, they're not trying to be cold or unfeeling. They're simply moving fast. They're moving very quickly and they're seeing a lot of people and things can capture them that are very, very simple. I've been so much on panels for casting where I hear someone saying, oh, that woman with that black blouse. Oh, we got to call her back in. Wow. That was a great blouse for her to wear. Good choice. You know, simple things like that can make a huge impression.
Right. Wow. So my little trick is it's the socks.
Oh.
And now it's kind of a bummer because today I'm just wearing plain gray socks. So it almost seems like I'm a hypocrite here. But I'd say 90% of the time, if I look in my drawer right now, there are probably only about 10% are basic black socks or whatever. Mm-hmm. The rest of them are, you know, they'll have boat anchors or, you know, just crazy striped colors. I have funky socks. Now, it's worked for two reasons. First of all, I just enjoy having fun socks because it's a conversation topic. I go through a lot of airports. Mm-hmm. You're always taking off your shoes. And I found that it diffuses some of the tension with the TSA folks.
Wow,
because
that's brilliant, Dan.
I mean, so many times I've walked through and they look down, they start laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, they say, oh, man, your socks made me happy today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons. I mean, I just enjoy funky socks in general. But it's a conversation piece. But you're right. I always have these funky socks on. You go into an audition or you just go into any kind of job interview, you cross your legs, they'll see that, they'll say, what's up with the socks?
Right.
It gives you a chance to be to show that, you know, I'm a fun person. I can be serious with the suit on, but I like to have a little fun with the socks.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a little bit of the tension out of the air.
It sure
makes
does.
Both parties very comfortable. And it also gives that reference point that you were talking about, that they can say, oh, you know, a lot of people came in here today. That was pretty funny, the guy with the socks. What was his name again? Yeah, Dan, the guy with the socks.
So it shows, you know, a little something about your personality
exactly.
that may not have come out in the first meeting without it. Brent knows about that because when he crosses his legs, he either has no socks or he's got holes so big in his socks, I wonder where the material is. That's a conversation starter right there.
So how much are you giving him? How much pay? Is it like poor guy can't even get
socks? I don't give him pay.
Socks?
I just buy him socks.
Well, that's
all he needs is socks.
Well, I like
socks.
Also
a good audition or a good conversation starter.
You're right.
I take off my shoes.
Yeah, and just
especially on a date when the date goes, where are your socks?
What's up with the socks? I actually, for years, growing up in the Caribbean and in Florida, I didn't wear socks.
Oh,
it was boat
yeah.
shoes and no socks. I didn't learn how to wear socks, really, as an adult until I moved to the New England area. And if you didn't have socks in the wintertime, you lost your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, especially if you didn't have thick socks, sometimes two pairs of socks.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we're going down this socky road.
I know.
But anyway.
Sock it to you.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
But what else, Dan? What else can we talk about that's artful and unique so that someone listening to this can say, I can walk away today with two or three things that I can actually do? I mean, one of my favorites is, of course, the writing it down. And some people feel like, oh, that's kind of arrogant. Is that cocky for me to write down what I think is really unique about myself? No, it's your value proposition.
Right.
That's what companies do every day. You're not going to buy that macaroni unless you look at the box, have seen the commercial, understand the ingredients, or like the visual.
Right.
You're just not going to buy it because you want to know, what's different about this macaroni versus the other five that are on the shelf?
Right.
What makes this one kind of interesting and unique and taste good, right? It's the same with us as people. We have to write it down and think about that value proposition.
I always look around when I go in for an interview or even just for a business meeting. I always look around for elements within that person's office or where they are that might connect to something that's unique to me. And I use that to sort of bridge a bigger connection that hopefully will get me the deal or the job. And what I mean by that is I go back to when I was trying to get into grad school and I was doing these interviews. I'd show up and do interviews with the admissions folks. And I went to this one and she had this picture on her desk of a trip. She had just come back from her trip to Europe. And she had a picture of a place that I had just been on my trip to Europe. And I thought, bingo. And that's how I sat down. I go, oh, that's a great picture. I was just there. Next thing you know, we're engaged. We spoke about our trips, you know, for quite a bit of time before we even got around to, you know, why I was there.
Right.
And in the end, not only did I get into grad school, but I also got a fellowship now.
Mm.
I had various qualifications and so
interesting,
forth.
Interesting, unique equals money.
Right. But I definitely think, you know, that wasn't the answer to everything, but it certainly was a way to sort of create a great atmosphere for me to be able to really sell myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I do is I go into an office. And you don't have a lot of time. I mean, sometimes you're in and out of there. And
Quick.
I quickly look around and I might see that someone has an instrument in the corner or they have a picture of an instrument.
Right.
I grew up playing the trumpet. I play other instruments. So depending on what people have there, that will be my instrument of choice that I really played. But, you know, I'll say, oh, wow, you played the trumpet? You know, I played the trumpet for many years. Did you do jazz or did you do classical? And I do that. So hopefully people will say when you leave, the trumpet guy, you know, we really liked him. If you can find, again, you know, you don't want to make something up. Sometimes you might have to sort of accent something that you do a little bit more that will make you memorable. But yeah, look around when you go in somewhere, look around to find something that is kind of connected with you.
That is
and
a great tip in making that other person feel really comfortable, almost as if they know you already.
Exactly.
Here's one more for the road. If you're a performer, how many times do we go in, speaking of time, and rush through everything we're doing to get to the end of it? How many times do we do that? Like, always.
Yeah.
So,
I've
been guilty of it many times, too, because you're worried. Are you going to run out of time? Are they busy? Are they? No, you have the time. Take that time and do some very interesting techniques that make can make you unique and memorable. For instance, if you're a voiceover talent, have a moment of your character where you make a sound, or you have what we call a moment before the character actually speaks the words. Hmm. That's something a lot of voiceover talent wouldn't think to do, right? So for instance, let's say it's a really happy cat. I just auditioned for a really happy Southern little Frisky's cat yesterday. It might be a moment of meow, right? Mm-hmm. The cat meowing or whatever that is. That's something that a lot of people would not think to do. They'd go right to the script. They'd go right to the words. Or if you're an actor and you're on camera, what about giving me a physical posture or physical movement that really indicates who this person is before you start speaking? That is giving us a life, an inner life of who this person is. That's a very unique thing to do. Believe it or not, a lot of people wouldn't think to do that or would be concerned or worried about doing that, that they're wasting time, when really they're embodying something that makes that character very unique.
Right. No, and it's so true. And we keep going back to the fact that your talent will get you a role. You have to have something behind that uniqueness. So we're not just saying, you know, run into a situation, wave the unique flag, and hope that it's gonna hope that it will land you the job, right? No, we're not saying that at all. We're saying that this can be a compliment. This is additive to what the real experience is, what the real performance is. It's a way to stand out, and we all need that.
And de-stress, because right. The reality is you're not like everyone else. You're unique, and you're you, and you want to be the best you can be.
Look, and maybe this is a stretch, but dating sites have become the norm now. I remember when someone said, well, I met this person on this site, you'd always sort of do the eyebrow thing. It's like, what, you can't go to a nightclub or the way that we met people? Mm-hmm. Just, hey, how's it going? But it's become everyone's using this site or that site in order to meet people. What do you do when you get on one of these sites? I've been married for a million years, so I haven't used any of these sites. But what I'm told happens on these sites is that you highlight something that makes you unique, because people are going through picture after picture after picture. Usually it's you have on a neat hat, or you're there with your pet, or you put up there that I love the travel, I'm great at whatever it might be.
Or you say, put up an old picture of Christie Brinkley and say, that's me.
Or as I like to have in my bio, that I ride a unicycle. I really do. It took me a long time as a kid to figure out how to do that. That makes me unique. And you'd be surprised how many people, when they see my bio on my website, when they see that I've ridden a unicycle, they'll go, oh, that's pretty cool. It's a great conversation starter. And it also makes it
cool.
Oh, that's the guy. I remember I was doing a panel one time and people said, oh, you're the unicycle rider. And for a while I was like, how'd you know that? But when you're trying to find a date, you always try to highlight something that's unique. So if you're trying to get a job, if you're trying to land a gig, why not? Up and look for ways to accent the uniqueness, because it will help you. If you do it the right way.
So then I was like, do you want to see my Neumann?
Dude, we're still rolling.
What? They're still listening? Don't these people have homes?
Well, since you're still with us, check us out at lalapitascompany.com and littleparkmedia.com and look for Media Monster, the Learning Hub programs. Everything from coaching to podcasts to media events and very cool and necessary seminars and workshops.
By the way, did that lazy tech director ever fix the intro on post?